The following is a podcast from Child Welfare Watch, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs. To learn more, or to receive the latest issue of The Watch, please visit centernyc.org.
One of the most monumental decisions a city agency can make is determining whether or not a child needs to be placed in foster care. But until very recently, that decision was made by only one or two child welfare workers, and always behind closed doors. This caused parents and whole communities to fear and mistrust child welfare services.
When I had child welfare contact, there wasn't even an opportunity to have a safety conference. I was even denied what the process was. They just skipped over it.
That's Sabra Jackson. In 2004, the Administration for Children's Services, known as ACS, came to her home and placed her children in care.
There was an allegation of neglect for my children. There was so much time in between. My children were actually removed after 2 weeks. They were actually remanded after 2 weeks.
Now Jackson works to help parents facing that situation. She is the New York Citywide Parent Advocate Network Coordinator for the Child Welfare Organizing Project, or CWOP. CWOP is a player in a new model to help parents have a voice in decisions about their children. It's called the Child Safety Conference.
The Child Safety Conference is a process that wasn't even thought about many years ago when I was affected by child welfare. It is a consensus-based meeting that brings all those that are involved with the family to the table.
ACS's hope was that including parents in the process would lead to better decisions and that families would be more on board with what ACS decides. Through these conferences, families, for the first time ever, receive both a window into how ACS makes decisions about their kids, as well as a voice in the process. But often, parents come to the conferences squarely on the defense, mistrustful of ACS and certain the odds are already stacked against them. That's where community representatives come in.
The community representative is actually what it is, a representative of the community that Mrs. Jones comes from. He or she is that person who knows, kind of is the mayor, could be the mayor of the town informally. Who knows every church, who knows every pantry, who knows pretty much every social services agency, and even those informal supports that Mrs. Jones could have to support her in keeping her family safe.
Reps from CWOP have all had personal experience with the child welfare system. They've either been investigated by ACS, had children removed from their homes, or been in foster care themselves. Parent representative and community organizer Damaris Figueroa says knowing that the parent reps have gone through similar experiences makes it easier for the families to trust them.
The way I get parents to really trust me, I mean, the first thing kind of I say is I'm not ACS. That's the first thing I tell them. And I tell them also that I've been there and I've done that. I've been through something similar to what they've been through. And from there on, they just, you know, automatically they feel me. They like, okay, you're one of me, you know, you're part of me.
Having volunteers from the parents' community support parents at these conferences can help ease their fears and help ensure that ACS hears their perspectives. Jackson says a large part of her role as a community rep is to make sure that the parent understands the jargon ACS workers use.
So if they don't understand what a remand is or what a parole is, because some people in the context of the law think parole always has to do with the criminal element. So the community representative can say to Ms. Stevens, the CPS worker, Ms. Stevens, can you explain to Mrs. Jones in the context of child welfare what a parole means in this case?
Community reps encourage parents to speak up, talk about their strengths, and offer their own ideas for keeping their children safe at home in the community. They help connect parents to neighborhood resources and supports, the kind that caseworkers who frequently live in other neighborhoods won't know about, like the Young Moms group that meets on Tuesdays at the church on the corner. Community reps are in the ideal position to gently press a parent to see the consequences of their actions. Figueroa distinguishes herself from ACS to the parents by making it clear she's there to help the children and the parent.
Me and the team talk, and me and the team come up with this plan. And then the parent is sitting there seeing that I'm not against you, but I'm also trying to help you. You have to do certain things in order to, you know, keep your children. So the parents, some parents understand, some parents, they don't want to hear that. Like, oh, you're here for me, you know, and I'm like, yeah, I know, but, you know, certain things you do have to follow.
The Annie E. Casey Foundation evaluated a similar conference model being used nationwide. They found it had a powerful impact. When families felt included and respected, they were more likely to participate in services, and children placed in foster care were more likely to move to a relative's home instead of a stranger's. But the evaluation also found conferences to be most effective when a number of key elements were present, including having a representative from the community who had knowledge of neighborhood resources such as after-school programs and job training opportunities. Figueroa says she stays involved with the families she helps.
They always call me back, always call me, and I love to hear from them back anyway because I like to hear what's going on. And sometimes, you know, like if the decision was remand, for example, sometimes when they go to court, they'll call me, no, the judge said no. So it makes me like, yes, you know, we did it again.
Supporting families in crisis can be intensely emotional, and many reps say they blink back tears in conferences as they learn about a family's struggles. They stick with it out of a sense of caring and obligation to their neighbors and wanting to protect children from entering foster care casually.
It's a passion for me, you know, just to get the knowledge and to see the evolution of the policy and process and to be a part of that process and to know that you've helped shape some of that. That's awesome. That's awesome for me. So that's why I do the work.
You have been listening to a podcast from Child Welfare Watch, a project of the Center for New York City Affairs. This podcast was produced by Kendra Hurley and Alec Hamilton. For more on this story, or to see any of the publications and events produced by the Center for New York City Affairs, please visit centernyc.org.